I want to begin this message with a few scriptures to set up this subject. We're going to turn to a few places and then we'll go to our text, which is Exodus 17. Turn with me first to Psalm 60. Psalm chapter 60. Look at one verse in here with me. It's verse 4. Thou hast given a banner to them that fear thee, that it may be displayed because of the truth. And the word Selah means just pause right there for a minute. It means just stop and think about that. Thou hast given a banner to them that fear thee, that it may be displayed because of the truth. All right, now go to Isaiah 11. Isaiah chapter 11. Isaiah 11, and look at verse 12. It says, and he shall set up an ensign. He shall set up a sign, a banner, for the nations, and shall assemble the outcast of Israel, and gather together the dispersed of Judah from the four corners of the earth. He's going to set up a sign. Now look at Isaiah 13, verse 2. Lift ye up a banner upon the high mountain. Exalt the voice unto them. Shake the hand that they may go into the gates of the nobles. I have commanded my sanctified ones. I have also called my mighty ones for mine anger. Even them that rejoice in my highness, the noise of a multitude in the mountains, like as of a great people, a tumultuous noise of the kingdoms of nations gathered together, the Lord of hosts mustereth the host of the battle. This is all talking about a battle. And he's saying, raise up a banner. There's a battle. Paul told Timothy, fight the good fight of faith. We're at battle. We really are. There's a war going on. Paul said, there's a war in my members. We know what that means, don't we? There's a struggle within and there's a struggle without. There is. We're at peace with God, but we're at war. We really are. All right, now turn to Ephesians 6. Ephesians 6, look at verse 11. It says, put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. That's the truth. That's the truth. Verse 13 says, "Wherefore take unto you the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. Stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth, and having on the breastplate of righteousness, and your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace, above all taking the shield of faith, wherewith ye shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked, and take the helmet of salvation, and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God, praying always." Praying always, with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. Pray for your brethren. They're at war. They're at war. Believers endure spiritual warfare. Why is it that we can go to a movie theater and sit there for an hour and a half just engrossed in everything about it? Mentally, there, with it. We know it. We love it. But we, me included, we can't sit and listen to the gospel for 30 minutes without our mind here and our mind there, and we feel bad about it. And spiritual warfare. That's why. That's why. I have good news, though. We have a banner. We have a banner. The Lord is our banner. I heard that so many times growing up, and I had no idea what that meant. Sounds good. The Lord is our banner. But what does that mean? Well, let's go to our text now, Exodus chapter 17, and hopefully we'll see what that means. All right, Exodus chapter 17, we're going to start with verse 8. And Brother Tony just read the story for us. We kind of understand what's going on here. Verse 8 says, "Then came Amalek." All right, now Amalek is a descendant of Esau. "Jacob have I loved, and Esau have I hated." So Amalek and his people, they're the enemy. They're the enemy. It says in verse 8, "Then came Amalek and fought with Israel in Rephidim." They made war. This enemy made war with Israel. Attacked Israel. Okay, now, as we read this, almost everybody in this text, almost, and almost everything in this text represents Jesus Christ. Everything about it. All right. Verse 9 says, "And Moses," God's deliverer, God's law, "said unto Joshua." Now Joshua, his name in Hebrew is the very same name as Jesus in the Greek. It's the same name. Jesus and Joshua, same name. They both mean Savior. Verse 9 says, "The law said unto the Savior, choose us out men and go out, fight with Amalek. Tomorrow I will stand on the top of a hill with the rod of God in my hand." A battle is about to take place. And God's law said, "I'm going to stand on the top of a hill." And I'm going to stand there with the rod of God in my hand. Aaron's rod. Now turn with me to Exodus 7. I love this. Exodus chapter 7. Look at verse 8. Exodus 7, verse 8. And the Lord spake unto Moses and unto Aaron, saying, When Pharaoh shall speak unto you, saying, Show a miracle for you, then thou shalt say unto Aaron, Take thy rod and cast it before Pharaoh, and it shall become a serpent. And Moses and Aaron went in unto Pharaoh, and they did so as the Lord had commanded. And Aaron cast down his rod before Pharaoh and before his servants, and it became a serpent. Then Pharaoh also called the wise men and the sorcerers. Now the magicians of Egypt, they also did in like manner with their enchantments, for they cast down every man his rod, and they became serpents. But Aaron's rod swallowed up their rods, ate them all. Their rod is not like our rod. The rod of God, that's Jesus Christ. There shall come forth a rod out of the stem of Jesse, and a branch shall grow out of his roots, a rod. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Back to our text, Exodus 17. Verse 9 says, And Moses said unto Joshua, Choose us out men, and go out, fight with Amalek. Tomorrow I will stand on the top of the hill with the rod of God in my hand. Verse 10 says, So Joshua did as Moses had said unto him. Christ obeyed the law. Everything it asked. Everything it required. Verse 10 says, So Joshua did as Moses had said unto him, and fought with Amalek, and Moses, Aaron, and Hur went up to the top of the hill. Aaron was Moses' brother. I think he was 3 years older than Moses. Aaron was God's high priest. God bade him to be the high priest. Aaron was the one who administered the sacrifice. Aaron was the one who dealt with the blood. That was his business. Aaron was the one who was covered in blood. That's Jesus Christ. Hur, H-U-R, Hur. His name means this. It means a cavern. It means a hole. It's a cleft in the rock. It's a place to hide. A place of safety in the middle of this battle. That's Jesus Christ. He hideth my soul in the cleft of the rock that shadows a dry, thirsty land. He hideth my life in the depths of His love, and He covers me there with His hand through the whole battle. Verse 10 says, So Joshua did as Moses had said to him, and fought with Amalek, and Moses, Aaron, and Hur went up to the top of the hill. War is about to break out. So the law, the sacrifice, and the rock of safety go to the top of the hill. Verse 11 says, And it came to pass when Moses held up his hand, the hand that had the rod of God in it. It wasn't just his hands by himself. He was holding the rod of God up. It came to pass when Moses held up his hand, when Jesus Christ was lifted up, as long as Israel could see that rod, as long as Israel kept their eyes on that rod, verse 11 says, Israel prevailed. As long as Israel had a single eye on that rod, they're in the middle of battle. There's a lot going on. It's a crazy world they're in. And as long as Israel stayed on that rod, stayed upon Jehovah, Israel prevailed. Verse 11 says, and when he let down his hand, when the people lost sight of the rod of God, when they started looking to themselves, they got worried for what they were in the middle of, started looking to their own ability, started looking to their own fight, verse 11 says, Amalek prevailed. The enemy prevailed. Now this is not just an old story for us to hear about. Not just a history book. Believers are in spiritual warfare. The scripture says that as the word goes forth, as the sower starts throwing out seed, the evil one grabs it before it ever makes it to our ears. That's spiritual warfare. The outcome of their battle depends on whether or not they can see that rod. Now think about this. When that rod goes down and they can't see it, they're not focused on it, you'd think that'd be the time they could get their mind in the battle. I don't have time for that right now. I got something facing me. It's in front of me right now. I got to deal with this. You'd think that'd be the time they could fight. You'd think it'd be the time they could win. They can't win this battle, though. And neither can we. We cannot win this battle. But listen to his word on this. The next time that the battle comes, and it will come, the next time that battle comes to you, whether it's within, whether it's without, whether it's with self, whether it's with the world, don't try to fight your own battle. Don't try to fight your own battle. See if you can get a glimpse of the rod. That's the lesson. That's the message. I've got something in front of me that I've got to take care of. It's not going to get taken care of. The next time something comes, start looking for that rod. Instead of taking matters into our own hands, let's come to the place where we can see the rod of God. If we can see Him, if we can ever look to Him and see what He has already done, we'll prevail. We'll prevail. All right, verse 11 says, and it came to pass when Moses held up his hand that Israel prevailed. And when he let down his hand, Amalek prevailed. Verse 12 says, but Moses' hands were heavy. He was trying to hold it up, trying to keep it up, but his hands were heavy. I thought about Romans 8. It says, for what the law could not do, in that it was weak through the flesh, God sent His Son for that. That's why Jesus Christ came. Verse 12 says, but Moses' hands were heavy, and they took a stone and put it under him, and he sat thereon. That stone is Jesus Christ. He's the chief cornerstone. He's the firm foundation. And the law rests on Him. Does that make sense? The law just rests on Him. Verse 12 says, "But Moses' hands were heavy, and they took a stone and put it under him, and he sat thereon. And Aaron and Hur stayed up his hands, the one on the one side and the other on the other side. And his hands were steady until the going down of the sun." The law concerning me, concerning my flesh, is a losing battle. It's a losing battle. I can't keep it. I can't uphold it. But thanks be to God, sacrifice and security stood up and took a stone and put it under the law for me. And they upheld the rod of God for me. Does that make sense? How firm a foundation, you saints of the Lord, is laid for your faith in His excellent word. When through fiery trials I cause thee to stand, upheld by my gracious, omnipotent hand. The sacrifice stood up, and my surety stood up, and they said, "These hands aren't going down." The end of verse 12 says, "And his hands were steady until the going down of the sun." This war is going to be with us until the day we leave this earth. But if we belong to Him, He's going to uphold us all the way to the end. All the way to the end. To the going down of the sun. Verse 13 says, "And Joshua discomfited Amalek and his word and his people with the edge of the sword. And the Lord said unto Moses, Write this for a memorial in a book, and rehearse it in the ears of Joshua, for I will utterly put out the remembrance of Amalek from under heaven. And Moses built an altar and called the name of it Jehovah Nissi." That means the Lord, my banner. "For he said, Because the Lord hath sworn that the Lord will have war with Amalek, the enemy, from generation to generation." Every generation is going to have to deal with this until the end of time. "And the Lord will have war from generation to generation." Write it in a book. Make it a memorial. Cause everybody to remember that the Lord is our banner. The Lord is our banner. Now there's a song that's very dear to this country, and it's called "The Star Spangled Banner." Right? And that song is about a flag. And that flag means something. It does. It's a reminder of what freedom cost. Right? Don't you remember certain things every time you get a view of that flag? I saw one driving over here this morning. I think it was on top of a bank or something. I saw a flag. It's a reminder that battles have been won. Well, the Lord is our banner. As long as the people look to that hill, Psalm 121 says, "I will lift up mine eyes unto the hills." As long as the people looked to that hill and saw the rod of God, they knew this battle is ours. They were encouraged. This battle's ours. Now listen to this. The War of 1812. Sadly, it was between the British and the Americans. And we have some very dear British friends, don't we? Thankfully, they never had war after that ever again. The War of 1812. By 1814, the British ships came in and started ruining American cities. They bombed Washington. bombed the White House, took control of it. They bombed Alexandria, Virginia. They'd come out with new bombs that would explode in midair, not when they hit the ground. And they would spread shrapnel everywhere, devastating. They weren't used to this. So they burned Washington, they burned Alexandria, and then they're headed to Boston, specifically to Fort McHenry. The commander of Fort McHenry, all this time, knew Washington was bombed, knew Alexandria was bombed, knew they were coming, and he had two flags made. One of them was called the Garrison flag. It's at the Smithsonian right now. The size of that flag was 30 by 42 feet, half the size of a basketball court. Huge. And then the other one was called the Storm flag. It was much smaller. On clear days, they would fly the Garrison flag. And whenever it was storming, whenever weather was bad, they would raise the smaller flag, the Storm flag. Well, the British come and their ships come and they start bombing Fort McHenry. And this battle lasted 25 hours. So they bomb all day. They bomb all night. And the Americans from Boston know we're being overtaken. We fought for freedom and independence, and it's being taken back. We're losing our land. They're taking our land. We're going to lose our home. We're going to lose our freedom. And they're blowing everything up. We're going to lose our lives. This is it. I mean, just devastating. Absolutely devastating. So the bombing continues all night long. And about 6:30 a.m., the bombing stopped. And this was the people's initial reaction. It's over. We lost. They took Fort McHenry. No need to bomb anymore. We've lost it all. But what actually happened is the ships realized they couldn't take Fort McHenry. And they quit bombing and they retreated. Well, you can imagine how happy Fort McHenry was. They couldn't believe it. They did not have the same artillery. And every time the ships would come in, the ships would get close enough where they'd have to back away. Then they'd come in, then they'd have to back away. And come in, then they'd have to back away. And finally they said, let's retreat. It rained all night long. It was a stormy night. Terrible storms, and they had the storm flag up. And when they retreated, it was still storming. But the commander of Fort McHenry told the men, take down the storm flag and run up the garrison flag. And when they did, about 7:30 in the morning, by dawn's early light, they said it could be seen for miles around. 8 miles away was a man named Francis Scott Key, who was worried. And when he saw that banner go up, he knew it wasn't taken. The fort wasn't taken. He was so thankful and so moved, he wrote the words, and the rocket's red glare, the bombs bursting in air, they're watching all night long, gave proof through the night that our flag was still there. Our flag is there. Our banner is still there. It means something. It means we won the battle. It means we still have our freedom. It means we still have our liberty. We have our lives. We have our land. Our banner is still there. The Lord is our banner. When you need a reminder of how great things the Lord has done for you, look to the banner. You know what you'll see? The Lord is our captain. I want you to turn to a couple of places and then I'll close. Turn with me to Exodus 15. Exodus 15 and look at verse 3. The Lord is a man of war. That's who gentle Jesus, meek and mild is. He's a man of war. Don't turn, just listen to this. This is Joshua 5. And it came to pass when Joshua was by Jericho that he lifted up his eyes and looked and beheld there stood a man over against him with his sword drawn in his hand. And Joshua went unto him and said unto him, Art thou for us or for our adversaries? And he said, Nay, but as captain of the host of the Lord am I now come. And Joshua fell on his face to the earth and did worship and said unto him, What saith my Lord unto his servant? And the captain of the Lord's host said unto Joshua, Loose thy shoe from off thy foot, for the place whereon you stand is holy ground. And Joshua did it. Now when John fell at the feet of an angel, that angel said, get up, don't worship me. I'm not God. But when Joshua fell down at the captain, he said, You take your shoes off. You're on holy ground. The Lord is our captain. Not only is He our king watching from above, He's our captain. He's leading the charge. First man in. He's actually the only man who ever went in. The next time you feel attacked, look to the banner. You know what you'll see? The Lord is our weapon. Sticks and stones may break my bones, but words will slay men to their grave. The word of our banner is sharper than any two-edged sword. The next time you feel weak, look to the banner. You know what you're going to see? The Lord is our courage. Turn to Deuteronomy 31. Deuteronomy 31, look at verse 6. The Lord thy God, He will go over before thee, and He will destroy these nations from before thee. And thou shalt possess them, and Joshua, he shall go over before thee, as the Lord hath said. And the Lord shall do unto them as He did to Sihon and to Og, king of the Amorites, and unto the land of them whom He destroyed. And the Lord shall give them up before your face, that you may do unto them according to all the commandments which I have commanded you. Be strong and of good courage. Fear not, nor be afraid of them. For the Lord thy God, He it is that doth go with thee. He will not fail thee, nor forsake thee. Cheer up. God is with you. Look to the banner. You know what you'll see? The Lord is our defense. Just listen to this. Psalm 125 says, They that trust in the Lord shall be as Mount Zion, which cannot be removed, but abideth forever. As the mountains are round about Jerusalem, so the Lord is round about His people from henceforth, even forever. He's our captain. He's our weapon. He's our courage. He's our defense. And if you look to this banner, you're going to see the Lord is our victory. Turn to Isaiah 25. Isaiah 25. Verse 1 says, O Lord, Thou art my God. I will exalt Thee. I will praise Thy name, for Thou hast done wonderful things. Thy counsels are of old, faithfulness and truth. For Thou hast made of a city an heap, of a defenced city a ruin, a palace of strangers to be no city. It shall never be built. Therefore shall the strong people glorify Thee. The city of the terrible nations shall fear Thee, for Thou hast been a strength to the poor, a strength to the needy in his distress, a refuge from the storm, a shadow from the heat, when the blast of the terrible ones is as a storm against the wall. Thou shalt bring down the noise of strangers, as the heat in a dry place, even the heat with the shadow of a cloud. The branch of the terrible ones shall be brought low. And in this mountain shall the Lord of hosts make unto all people a feast of fat things, a feast of wines on the lees, of fat things full of marrow, of wines on the lees well refined. And He will destroy in this mountain the face of the covering cast over all people, and the veil that is spread over all nations. He will swallow up death in victory, and the Lord God will wipe away tears from off all faces. And the rebuke of His people shall be taken away from off all the earth, for the Lord hath spoken it. Do you remember Jehovah Jireh? You remember that? The Lord will provide. Well, Jehovah Nisi, that's what Exodus 17 says. Moses built an altar and he named that place Jehovah Nisi. The Lord is our banner. Now I close, I promise, with this. Don't turn. This is Exodus 14, 13 and 14. This is what it says. And the Lord said, and Moses said unto the people, Fear ye not, stand still, and see the salvation of the Lord, which He will show to you today. For the Egyptians whom ye have seen today, you shall see them again no more forever. The Lord shall fight for you, and ye shall hold your peace. The battle is the Lord's. Stand still. Look to the banner. I hope the Lord will bless that. Stand together with me.